One of them has a unique area to share on this question of communicating with secular peers. There it is. About faith and science. And so Josh really introduced that well. And so we're going to take a look at these questions. Dennis, I've gotten to know, I think we talked on the way to the airport, maybe. I can't remember exactly how.
Became friends on the ride there.
That's right. That's what ASA meetings are about. I mean, you never know when you're going to have a good conversation with somebody. So don't miss out if they're on their ride to the airport with you. And he's professor at University of Alberta. And we're looking forward to more of what he'll share. See Kim, the AAAS, the Dialogue in Science, Ethics, and Religion has already been mentioned, but she's going to share a little bit more about that. Kevin Orner, and we connect online a lot, so that's cool. Great to be virtual friends and actually here physically together. PhD candidate in Environmental Engineering at a secular university, and he leads a graduate prayer group, which is really cool. That's awesome. And Kara Reese, yeah, wow, look, she's up here and not taking the pictures down there. That's awesome. Recent PhD from University of Michigan, an MA studying theology at Vanderbilt, and she's been doing all kinds of cool things, as you've probably noticed, and editing with the God and Nature, which is awesome. When did you start doing that?
I started in June.
I just can't keep up with this. It's amazing. You guys are doing such great work. So basically, I'm just going to turn over them, each of them, just share for a few minutes about communicating with secular peers about faith and science, and then, as time permits, maybe take a few questions, and we'll shift us to the speed mentoring. So, yeah, I'll get out of your way. Why don't you just start, and we'll just go down the road.
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Kevin Orner. I'm a PhD candidate in environmental engineering at the University of South Florida. So this is my second ASA annual meeting, and I became a PhD student back in the fall of 2014. And at that point, I had done my master's degree already, and coming to the University of South Florida, I was trying to look around and see what opportunities there were for Christian fellowship. At my undergrad institution, I was involved in Campus Crusade, and my wife had worked for InterVarsity in the Urbana Conference, so I was trying to figure out where I'd fit in, and I was looking around at what opportunities were available for graduate students, and there were none, so I was like, okay, what am I going to do? So I started volunteering with InterVarsity. I was like, there's a lot of graduate students here on campus, and I'd like to figure out, how we can encourage, fellowship and growth, particularly for graduate students, because we have different challenges and, different ways of, just different challenges. So I had talked just informally with a professor, and she just casually mentioned within the first week that I was there that she was also, going to church and was a Christian, and that one of her other students that she advised was also a Christian. So we're like, okay, there's at least three of us here. Let's just get together and, pray and see what we can do. So we got together a couple times and we decided, let's just keep gathering together, but not just the three of us. So let's gather to pray and see what God would do together. So we just kind of casually mentioned during our conversations that we were Christians, and our group grew to like four or five, and then people saw four or five of us gathering together every week, and they're like, oh, what are you guys here for? So we'd be like, oh, we're just here for a prayer group, and we actually gained maybe three or four more members who were saying, hey, I was looking for a group like this. I just didn't know that there are any other Christians here. So slowly our group grew, so now we just meet once a week for about an hour, and our group really ranges in kind of their path along the Christian journey. There are some people, we have one international student who came from Germany, and she really had had no exposure to the Christian faith, and she's like, hey, I don't really know what I believe yet. Can I just sit in on your prayer lunch conversations and just kind of hear people's testimonies about how they became Christians? And we're like, yeah, that's awesome. And then we have other people who have been Christians for a long time and just need some fellowship. And then there's other people who come in and out, and they're just, trying to see what it means to be a Christian, maybe, went to church once in a while growing up. So now I think in our group of 20 graduate students, there's maybe 10 or 12 of them who come to this prayer lunch regularly. So it's really neat for us to look around and see, like, not only, are we researchers here, but we're also brothers and sisters in Christ and allows us to talk more than just, you know, about our research, but we can really encourage and support one another. So that's just how our group grew very organically. So I'd say my three, you know, practical points here are just like, you know, let people know that you're a Christian, you know, drop it in conversation. If you find other Christians, just, you know, get together and pray and see what God would do on your campus. And then three, just live a life that people are like, hey, you know, why do you live differently? You know, I'd like to do more of that. Cool. That's my story.
My name is Sierra Reyes, and I didn't start being more vocal about faith and science to secular friends or audiences until later. So in graduate school, I would consider myself an introvert, and also can be shy. And so that, in addition to just being self-conscious about my faith, just worrying that the more vocal I am about my faith, the more higher standards I'll be held to by people around me, and just being afraid of falling short of those standards. And the reality is you will, regardless of how vocal or not you are, and I did. But that didn't stop me from being involved in Christian ministry and organizations in graduate school. I was a part of InterVarsity, the international chapter at Michigan, and I was involved there my whole 5 years, and I was vocal, but in the safe environment of my university community, having conversations with friends, but not necessarily a lot outside of that. And it didn't start to happen until I started my master's in theology, when it became more hard to inescapable, I would say. If you say I studied biology, I finished a PhD in biology, and now I'm studying theology, the question is why. And a lot of friends would ask, or when I started my master's in theology, I was also teaching, working as a teaching assistant for an intro biology lab, and so my supervisor asked me as well. So it just became that I could no longer hide, and that was good to force me into those conversations, and it doesn't feel as uncomfortable now. It's mostly just, it's not me trying to witness, or I find myself still trying to process my own understanding and learning as well, and so just sharing my experiences with others has been the best form of conversations.
Good morning. My name is Sae Kim, as you know. I say morning because to this lab rat, I will forever be a lab rat. It is still morning. I'm currently at AAAS, American Association for the Advancement of Science. It is, as you know, the world's largest journal scientific association, publisher of Science Magazine, and I'm currently the associate director. The director is Dr. Jennifer Wiseman, who's also at this meeting, but of the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion program. So the program strives to do public engagement for scientists around the world, particularly reaching out to faith communities, because it is important there's a recognition that it is important for science. So a little bit of my personal story. I was trained as a neurosciences and genetics with a stint as a postdoc in plant sciences. The running theme there, if you're asking why I moved from mouse to plants, is DNA structure. So, and then I transitioned over to AAAS, or nonprofit management, where my interest lies in administration. I am also a pastor's wife. My husband is a church planter. We had a church plant in Houston, and then we moved over to DC area to start a. He does first generation Korean American churches in the Virginia area. So, with that said, I can tell you that we have many ASA meetings over dinner tables all the time. So I just have three points that I wanted to share with you guys, those of our friends who are a little bit younger than I. First is embrace your identity. I think we hear a lot that it's challenging to kind of share who you are on the inside versus outside, career versus personal life, but embrace it. A lot of scientists in the secular field that I've found, having come to AAAS, is that, and even during my trainings, people are quite open. Even though they may not be religious, they're actually open to conversation. And they value authenticity. So it is more important in some ways to be true to yourself. And I can tell you, life is a lot easier that way. I used to have 2 Facebook profiles. Yes. One for personal life and one for academic. And then I joined AAAS, and they kind of had to merge. And life is a lot easier. That's the first point. The second point is when you're engaging with your secular friends and peers and mentors, highlight the shared values. Josh kind of touched upon this, but highlight the curiosity, the seeking, the humbleness about science. And many scientists themselves view science as a calling as well, right? And so highlight that engagement and outreach and being yourself in every aspect is who you are as a scientist, and that's where you bring the richness of science. So highlight that. The third thing is support and rely on each other. I know that we have great leaders here, even at the ASA meeting, that you know we're excited to meet and we talk to, and they encourage us and inspire us. But don't forget each other. And there's 2 reasons. One is you're the next generation, right? And rely on each other's expertise. The world is already small in terms of science and faith, and you're gonna need that support. And rely on the expertise. One highlight story that I like to say is when I was giving a talk at Multnomah Seminary, I remember getting a question that I felt really uncomfortable about asking because it was not in my field. It was in genomics, and I was like, Josh can answer that question, you know? And you guys are on different fields. You're going to get questions that you're not familiar with. And feel, you know, that's where your friends come in the science and religion faith dialogue. And then obviously, again, it's a small world, so rely on each other because they will also have different circles of influence and different voices that they can reach that you can't. So that was my 3 points, and thanks.
Well, hi, I'm Dennis Lamoureux. I've got a small handout on the sheet, on the seats, so please grab that and give you a little bit of a reference point. I teach exclusively science and religion courses at the University of Alberta. I'm also an adjunct professor in paleontology. My PhD in evolutionary biology, the evolution of teeth, of course, because I had a dentistry background. And what I'd like to do, I thought I'd take a different sort of angle and sort of talk about what non-Christians are seeing with Christians within the academy. How would I describe myself when I first went to university? Well, I did not share all the details. I was a 1970s Charlie Sheen. Got the picture? Not pretty. Raised in a Catholic school, came to university, lost my faith in first term because of evolution. Got into dental school in my 3rd year university. And it was there for the first time I met really committed Christians, evangelical Christians. And so 2 things noticed by non-Christians of Christians. Number 1, it's holy behavior, and number 2, academic excellence. The thing about the evangelicals in my class, and I couldn't articulate it back then, and I was in the midst of my atheism. I wanted to be like them. Because there was really something special. And of course, today, as a theologian, St. Augustine's famous line, your heart doesn't rest until it rests in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. I didn't understand that. So I'm seeing that. They were a wonderful witness. They loved me. And the other thing I noticed about these guys is they took school very, very seriously. The top gun, our gold medalist, was an evangelical. In a class of 50, most of the evangelicals were in the top 10. And I noticed their excellence, and I'll also say I wanted to be like them. I went to dental school so I could play golf and pick up girls. Now, that sounds awful, but those are the facts. And again, it's back to I want to be like them. If you want to know why Josh has his chair write a wonderful letter like he did, I can tell you right now, he is a competent scientist. So, academic excellence, and you see the name Francis Collins, I mean, I'm at a Catholic institution, I'm an evangelical Protestant, but I'd like to have a canonization process for Francis Collins. He has made my job so much easier, and he's wonderful. And because of his academic excellence, he gets this opportunity to share his faith in the highest places. So if those are two elements, and again, I became a Christian 2 years after dental school, but I look back and I know it is those holy lives. And yeah, they witnessed to me, but it was more the holy lives and the other thing being serious about dental school. Okay, let's talk about science-religion dialogue. It is a serious academic discipline. Harvard, Cambridge, Princeton, Oxford, Toronto all have chairs. And this is a real opportunity to talk seriously about God and, of course, about science. So here are some suggestions for you. Consider presenting some online lectures and videos. BioLogos is absolutely spectacular in terms of its resources. You will never be able to do all of BioLogos' resources. There's so many of them, and they come from varying views, and that's the beauty of it. Another thing I'd suggest is consider to read a book and Skype with the author. And most authors are quite happy to take about 40-50 minutes to talk about their course. You might be interested. I do more Skype lectures now than I do, you know, get on a plane and fly somewhere. And I find these actually more effective in that I've got some videos students will look at, and then the professor will say, let's put some questions to Lamoureux, and the fruitfulness of the dialogue is great. Let's talk about some resources. As I said, I'm in the business of science and religion, and this coming September, my course will be on Coursera, which is the largest MOOC platform, MOOC, Massive Open Online Course, in the world, Science and Religion 101. Now, there's a bit of time commitment there, 19 hours, but it is for free. And so you might want to go there in terms of building your background to make you stronger. And again, my technique is across the board. I just don't present my views. In fact, 40% of the stuff I use is non-Christians. This has become such a popular course at my university. I teach over 50% of all the theology school students in our school. And 40% of them are non-Christians. So there is a real seeking out there, and you have an opportunity to share. Another thing to note is online Origins lectures, Skype, and Q&A. You'll notice the website, and if you go to the back there, CMU, Central Michigan University, for the last 3 years, every term, two times a year, they do a lecture, and if you flip to the back of the handout, this is the lecture, simply entitled Beyond the Evolution versus Creation Debate. It is, everyone has a shtick lecture. And basically what I do is outline the varying positions, and from there, and you'll also notice at the bottom of the abstract, the lecturer also shares his personal voyage in this debate. We're in the world of postmodernity, and you know what that means? It means that you can share your story, and of course you know what it means as a Christian. I get to share my testimony. This is a lecture that I give twice a year at the University of Alberta, promoted by the Department of Biology, and you'll notice the endorsement of the chair of biology, Mike Caldwell. He's an atheist, and sort of like in Josh's context, if you do the scholarship well and fair and even-handed, you will get an opportunity to share. And if you flip back to the handout, my final suggestion is simply this, and I've brought you each a copy of my latest book, Evolution, Scripture, and Nature Says Yes. This is a book that was basically directed to high school, late high school, early college. I've got a free copy at the back for you, and if you're interested, I'm happy to do a Skype Q&A in whatever the context is. And I might add, say by 5 o'clock tomorrow, I brought over 300 books. If in the bookstore there's some extra copies, then take multiple copies, bring them back to your friends at your university. Okay, thank you.
We'll have in your chairs, hopefully, if not, try to find them, little index cards. Where we're going to be transitioning to in a little bit is the speed mentoring opportunity. So questions that you're going to be wanting to ask people, just make sure you're writing them down, because we'll be sharing them with people doing the groups. I know we're really tight for time here, but I'd love if there is a question or two or so that people would have, maybe a question that people would have. And like I've said before, I see a lot of this as a real teaser opportunity, so track these people down and talk with them more, have a meal with them, and I guess even Skype them if you don't get the opportunity to do that. Well, ask them if they want to be Skype. Definitely Skype Dennis, but ask them.
I should have added, this is how much I want for an honorarium. Okay, money's not going to be a factor.
Yeah, okay, what'd you get there?
I'm Jeff Greenberg from Wheaton College. I really appreciate this panel in particular. Hello, Dennis.
Jeff.
Anyway, I really appreciate this panel in particular because I think it's something that we are lacking in many ways. Is this, we talk about talking to the church and to reach out to church, which is so important, but also what we portray. I know this isn't a question. I'm sorry. because this is just what I do. This is what I've been doing. This is one of the reasons my membership in ASA has lapsed for several years, because my membership in GSA, the Geological Society of America, has been so important to me. And I have been working with secular colleagues on a lot of things that are heart-dependent, and to realize particularly the applied science side of this thing, the international development side, the taking of what we can do as I'm a geologist and applying this to the welfare of other people in the world has made a big impact on people who don't understand Christians. And when they find out that evangelical Christians have the same motivation they do, it's been a major bonding time. And I have found more new colleagues and friends and people that I have a spiritual attachment to who are not in the family of faith yet than I have sometimes within it, where all these battles and things are going on. So this is really important. This should not be underemphasized of how much of an important impact we have in dealing with potential people on the outside, particularly for young people who are doing science and say, I'm never going to be doing this stuff, I'm doing something very detailed. Well, think about the motivation of what you do, what you spend your expertise doing, and hopefully you'll be able to connect with colleagues who are not believers. And it's really evangelism. It really is. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Cool. Yeah, I really appreciate it. And it's, these persons share their story here, and that's what it's about. I mean, I go to the Urbana Student Missions Conference, and my question is, well, what's it mean to be a student when they go back to campus? In what way are they following Christ in their field when they take that next step? And so I really appreciate each one of you sharing your story. And if there's any way that we can continue to pray for you, feel free to drop me an email. I really appreciate your work. Now, I know some of you are involved in this crazy speed mentoring opportunity. We need more time to do this next service. So a whole day to do this. Like I said, we have these little cards and be thinking about questions. I think Hannah is going to try to explain this experiment. Right, do you want them to just walk the stage? Or do you want them to stay up here?
We can probably take a few more questions if people trickle in.
Okay, we can take
maybe like one or two.
Okay, cool. Look at that. And it says more questions. Right. Awesome. Anyone else a question? And the students up there?
This isn't a question, but it's another kind of comment. I appreciate what everything that's been said. It also applies to the secular world. I'm an engineer, but you may be sitting at a business meeting, and during lunch, you can talk about your family. You can talk about church. And all of a sudden, someone else's eyes light up because there's another Christian in the group that didn't know it. And when you mentioned Francis Collins, I thought, how many people have heard him play the guitar?
Biologo says here.
There's ASA members scattered around. I was at a Bible study, and a guy from NIST out in Colorado said, I just don't know any other Christians. I said, there's like two or three ASA members at NIST, and you can introduce people. I appreciate what was said and just being real and being excellent. C.S. Lewis came to the Lord because he found the best people when he was doing his studies were believers, and he couldn't understand it.
Josh, what you got there?
I want to ask the panel, I think this whole idea, I want to echo what the Wheaton professor said too. I think this is really important to think about how we kind of think about the mission beyond just, dealing with the church in the places we're embarrassed by the church. That's how it comes across sometimes. But really start to think about how we actually live out our mission in the world, in our colleagues. What do you think are going to be the best ways for organizations, like Graduate Christian Fellowship, faculty fellowships, or ASA to start kind of reorienting around that?
Well, if I can start, and this is going to sound kind of rude, I say to my students, why does this course work so well for you?
because I got your GPA in my hands. And the moment you can start doing a course for credit, it's not like coming on a Friday night, a couple lectures, something like that. But the moment that competitive edge comes in, you should see the results of what these kids can put together in just 13 weeks. So this is where I'm really encouraging people that within, and no one really owns science and religion. It is now a defined academic body. And so for you to start the machinery in your institutions, including public institutions, of putting science and religion courses together. And I will say to you that if the moment you do this, after your first course, and I'm not a prophet, but I guarantee you, you will be blessed beyond measure, because it is such a fulfilling experience. And in particular, I'll speak of the evangelicals. They are compartmentalized. They're seeing one thing at church, then another thing at university, and if you can give them some middle ground positions, they're off to the races.
Anyone else have a comment here on the panel?
I think it could be helpful to explore creative ways of faith and science dialogue, so especially when thinking about future generations, the younger generations, and reaching out to them, whether that's through the arts, and then also in thinking about outreach, I think this is mostly an idea, but partnering with maybe secular organizations, like the NCSE, National Center for Science Education, they have something called Science Booster Programs. And these are programs that they give you a curriculum, and they give you the materials, the experiment materials that you need. And their goal is to teach the general public about different aspects of science. And so an idea I've had is using those kits in churches, or even if you wanted to kind of build more science outreach at a university, you could encourage even secular scientists and graduate students to participate and maybe share a lecture or about the research to churches or something like that, in a way that is kind of trying to bring people together.
And I'll add one thing. I've really been blessed by really good mentorship. As an undergrad, I viewed my science and my faith as kind of different things in different compartments. I'd go to church on Sunday and be a student during the week, and I had a professor who lived out his faith as an engineering professor. So I was wondering why he was different, and I got to know him a lot better. So for me, just seeing great examples of people who have gone before me, and just as I go through my own path, my own challenges, someone who I've developed trust with and can ask questions, I think mentorship would be valuable for me and valuable for other students as well.
I actually don't really understand the question, so I'm going to rephrase. Is the question, what can organizations like faith science organizations do better, or is it what can they do specifically better for something?
What could they do better to kind of facilitate more of a view of actually, you know, speaking to non-Christian audiences instead of church?
I see.
Because most of these audiences are kind of engaged just talking to Christians.
Right, to each other. One thing that I'm realizing, you know, as we do the work, is that you need key leaders. You really, really need the movers and shakers. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the big names, the usual names, but it needs people who are committed and very passionate. And I would encourage many organizations to find who those are and latch onto them and just keep getting them engaged. And more often than not, they will be willing to do it, right? More often than not. And so they may not actually proactively seek it, but they may, if you ask them, they will do it, and they'll do a great job. And so I would say find out who the faculty are, who are the key faculty, who are the key students, and engage them, because they have a voice that the organizations won't. They have the inside voice, or they have the connections and the reach that you necessarily won't have.
Yeah, related to that, I mean, each of you have kind of mentioned this in passing, but maybe can you think of maybe one particular person that you had that was local, and maybe one particular person that as kind of bigger name that you find particularly inspirational?
Tom, we may have to address that later. I think we need to kick out okay. the speed mentoring.
Teaser. We'll try to address that question sometime. Be thinking about that, because I think that's a helpful conversation for us to have. Okay, Hannah, let's try to figure out this.
Let's thank the panelists.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much.